In January, Moab's temperatures never rose above freezing for the entire month. With pipes freezing all over town, Ron Pierce, Moab's weather historian, was among many old-timers who'd never seen anything like it.
But as far as I can remember, it's the coldest spell we've had for a long, long, long time.
Jane Belknap, one of the scientists at the Moab Research Station of the Southwest Biological Science Center, says she's not surprised that there is local colding in the midst of global warming.
It was freezing cold this year. What do you mean global warming? And so, you know, there's education about that. But I think part of the problem with desert environments is we live in extremes. But I do, you know, I talk about it as global weirding.
And that's the weird thing about climate change. As the planet is expected to heat up over the next century, local microclimates might change in unexpected ways. It will require communities like Moab to adapt to their own specific challenges, says Jeff Foster, Moab's public works director.
If our temperatures are going to continue this direction, that we come up with new standards that cover colder temperature climate.
To help Utah communities look towards the future, the Utah Climate Center at Utah State University chronicled 50 years of climate change in the state. The study concludes that two main phenomena have been affecting Utah's climate. A warming trend is causing more precipitation to fall as rain and less as snow, and an abnormal high pressure system has developed over the west that is partly responsible for extreme weather like intense rainstorms. These types of extreme weather events can have consequences. Two seasons ago, Moab's uranium pile cleanup was threatened by flooding. John Weisheit is the conservation director for the advocacy group Living Rivers. He fears this was just a taste of what's to come.
The point is freaky weather happens, you know, and the question you have to ask is, what's the frequency and what's the magnitude? We are going to get major floods, and it's going to affect Moab in particular, because if that pile isn't removed in time, that stuff's going to liquefy, get lifted up, and sent into Lake Powell.
While activists conclude that what we know already is a call to action, climate scientists seem to largely agree that much more study needs to be done. To that end, the Moab Research Station conducts climate manipulation studies at several locations around the area. Sasha Reed is a research ecologist.
We're concerned about the Colorado Plateau and how the plants and animals and organisms will respond to that.
On various small plots, Reed uses infrared warming lamps to mimic higher temperatures and sheets of glass to block precipitation, simulating less rainfall. They record changes to soil and ecological systems over the long term in the hopes of predicting effects of climate change. Ultimately, the goal is to learn how to sustain and restore ecosystems and provide a scientific basis for future land management decisions.
There isn't this consistency in change in climate, and that makes thinking about land management or making decisions that much harder, and it makes the experiments that we do harder, too, because we have to have that inconsistency in the experiment.
What really matters to most people is how climate change will affect them, says Mike Dunaway. He's the soil ecologist on the Moab team. I asked him, at what point will the climate models help someone, for example, decide whether to plant grapes in a particular Utah valley?
There's a big challenge there. They talk about downscaling the global climate change models. And so trying to downscale those to figure out what's going to be happening on your vineyard is a huge challenge. I mean, there's all kinds of uncertainty with the models.
With so many unknowns, major public planning for climate change on a regional or even local level is still rare in Utah. But local residents know the dust storms are getting worse and weather's getting crazy, and Weisheit thinks it's time to get serious.
For some reason, we think we're immune to that because we have technology, and we have smart people, and we have lots of money, and we can fix our way out of this. You know, this could all be taken away from us, like Fukushima was taken away from Japan.
Yet Belknap thinks there is no need to fear the worst.
We're not talking about Armageddon or the apocalypse. It's not like suddenly areas like around Moab are going to turn into the Sahara Desert without a plant in sight.
Still, some groups have taken matters into their own hands and are already developing possible solutions. The Natural Resources Defense Council says immediate action to reduce fossil fuel usage and increase renewable energy usage can help curb global warming. They cite over 250 greenhouse gas abatement technologies that may mitigate change at little or no net cost. In Moab, environmental groups have established a climate action plan, which includes the Canyonlands Watershed Council, where there's an ongoing dialogue among local government and green groups about how to make Moab more resistant to climate change. If the bad weather and droughts continue, there's no doubt that others will start trying to find solutions as well.